Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back. See, the sun has come up. The days have not ended, or at least life as we know it has not ended. It is changing. I've been telling you it's changing. I've been telling you that the Bolshevik Revolution started back in the 60s and the 50s in this nation. Just like in Russia, the Bolshevik Revolution started in the 1860s when the Tsar emancipated the serfs and slaves. Because back then, they had to resort to collectivism, and there was one little pamphlet, one little propaganda of falsehoods and empty promises called the Communist Manifesto that helped breed and prepare for the actual revolution that occurred later. The Petri dish and the germs were placed and ready to act, you know, well, whatever a Petri dish germs kind of do, they kind of flourish and grow. And we now see the fruits of their labor. Anyway, I don't want to necessarily get into kind of time-bound stuff. I believe that what we're dealing with has to be placed into context. And I believe that there's probably some more important things that we really need to start understanding and placing those things into context so that you understand, like I was saying in the previous episode yesterday, you know, that as an American citizen, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to protect and defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. Many people, very smart people, have said that America will not fall from forces outside of us. We will fall from forces within because we've allowed, under the guise of freedom and freedom of the press and all of these other things, we've been actually manipulated. If you really look, because I've told you that the states all along, since 1860s, states still had the right to have established religions. And they also had the right to create standards for the press. And look at what's happened because we had politicians that did not go the extra mile or actually do their job in ensuring that we were protected from the propaganda mill, the narrative that's coming from the slime of the mainstream media. Even Fox News is manipulating. Now, there are, you know, like Tucker Carlson, and I like some of the stuff that they're, but they're not, they don't care about the solution. They only care about keeping you watching so that they can show you the other side of the grapefruit. It's just a grapefruit. It is not the solution. That's why I constantly try to remind people, if you're not engaged in the solution, you're a part of the problem. And just watching, and as they give you the complete news cycle of the changes from grapefruits to oranges and apples or whatever fruit or whatever thing that they want to magnify in your life at this point in time to consume your most finite resource. Your most finite resource, my friends, is your time. That's why there's an economic term called opportunity costs. Can you afford the opportunity cost to continue watching this crap? Or are you finally going to actually get smart and get proactive and get involved in doing things that will protect your citizenship, your rights that the Constitution guarantees and demands that you protect and support it and defend it? Anyway, as you know, the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is really the only show that gives you the academic evidence-based solutions. We give you the facts And as a matter of fact, when I come to the facts, when I actually espouse facts, I actually read the words of those people, those brilliant men. I don't want you to take my word for it. Read their words. They are not lying. They had nothing to gain 240 some years ago. There was nothing in it for them. They were pleading for our future so that we could enjoy liberty. So I want to thank you for tuning in. We do have that listener drive, and it does make a difference. As more of you get involved in getting other like-minded friends just to tune in, just to take a drink of this concept of Republic Review, that we have all the power within the Constitution. If we use the Constitution as our weapon and as our defense, we will win every battle. I want to go out and say, you know, I actually made my predictions, and in the face of Facebook or fly in the face of social media, they all said that they're going to remove predictions. Well, anyway, I just defy them. As we move forward, one of the things I do want to place into context, as I was trying to say, is that there's nothing more important that we place into context than those things that we value the most. And so what is that? What is that you value the most? Is that Rolex watch or that heirloom from, you know, your some side of your family that was really important? Or is it the property? Is it your home? Is it that car? What is it that you actually value? What is it that you will give your life for? Now, I'm hoping that if you're married, the first thing that comes to your mind possibly would be your spouse. I'm hoping. But if you are married and that's what comes to your mind, or whatever comes to your mind, I would like to inject one paradigm. And that paradigm is your liberty, your rights. And as a matter of fact, there's no more poignant, no more, I guess, passionate plea for that than in Madison's essay on property. Have you read Madison's essay on property? Well, we're going to. But as we do, I want to also kind of lay this groundwork. So we're going to read property because I want to place context first to what property really is. Then we're going to dive into natural law and these types of fundamentals. And then I want to actually get into the scale of liberty. I usually start off with the scale of liberty in the ideological paradigm, but I think it's best to kind of lay out the groundwork and or some footings so that when we actually lay out this ideological scale of liberty, you can start really seeing how people, you know, place context to things like property and the law and what have you. So, without any further ado, and if we have time, I'm going to get into some of the G. Edward Griffin need-to-know news that isn't something you're reading about, isn't something you've probably heard. This is why it doesn't hurt to at least sign up for G. Edward Griffin's need-to-know news. If you have time to read it, if you have time to check out the articles, at least do what I do. I just read the top end or, you know, his encapsulating the article in a paragraph or two, you know, the summary, the abstract. Anyway, March 29th, 1792, Madison wrote this essay, and it was an essay on property. And so he kind of defines it first off, and he says, this term in its particular application means, quote, that dominion which man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion of every other individual. Now, right there, I want to stop. And that's a very well done definition in his own words. Property goes back, and as a matter of fact, most historians will tell you that property and the laws of property began in society, in man's society, historically, in Rome. that the laws of Rome actually started defining what was property and what was your property and what was somebody else's property. They got into, and that was the law of the land, or actually the law of the city, as Brent Winters calls it. But I want you to understand that actually property was well defined even before then legally, but it was defined in a theocracy, which that theocracy has been scoffed, marginalized, and never reported. This is why you do not learn that property was absolutely and infinitely laid out and defined in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Because right there in the concept of stealing, it means you are taking from someone else something that is not yours. If you understand the importance of property, it is your possessions. It is something you've earned. It has been something you've been given, granted, bestowed upon you, whether it be your good looks. That could be your property. I forget, there was a gal way back. I remember my mom used to tell me that this gal had her legs insured for $1 million because her legs, you know, is what you know, made her, or, you know, it was her, I guess, her value in life and most important thing that she wanted to protect. And so a lot of times when people actually look at, you know, things that they really value, they actually go down the path of getting insurance for it, like your life, and or you're making money so that you can take care of those who you actually take care of. That's kind of why we insure those things that we truly value, because we want to make sure nothing can happen to it, or we can have it restored if best possible. When we get back, we're going to dive into property and these paradigms right after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so moving on, this is Madison. He laid out the definition that basically it's something that one person claims dominion over and exercises, you know, this control and dominion of external things over all other individuals. In its larger and juster meaning, it embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage. So he just, boom, he just put steroids on what is property. Anything that you basically claim value on is your property, or can be your property if it's exclusively yours, right? Okay, so in the former sense, moving on, in the former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called his property. In the latter sense, a man has property in his opinions and the free communication thereof. Today, we have actually, I'm adding here, today we have actually given property rights to intellectual property, creativity. As a matter of fact, one of the things that kind of kills me is the lack of creativity in software, the lack of creativity in lots of things that we supposedly create. I mean, how much plagiarism goes on? How much reuse of code, the basic designs? I mean, even web pages, once somebody created some form of a template or something, then other people just copied it. Now they made their changes, and we have created a sophisticated legal system to say, well, we believe that even though there's this 70% of the foundation that is there, the 30% or even the 5% nuance changes, like yours is all blue and shades of blue, and this person's now using shades of red. So clearly, they're not copying, and that's how the legal mind works. But the reality is that when somebody takes intellectual property and creates that code, because when you start looking at web pages, when you start looking at actual code and what it does, or even apps, there's a lot of duplication. Believe you me, the processes are always built upon previous processes and improved upon. That's one of the reasons why we have seen over time that operating systems have, one, you know, started off very clunky, like Windows, Apple, and so forth, and Apple probably did a little bit better job. But Unix itself is a pretty clean operating system, and it begot BSD and Linux. And so those are very clean operating systems in comparison to Windows and even Apple. Or as Google has basically taken what Google Chrome and Android, that's basically Linux. Just like Apple is basically using the same structure or the kernel of Linux as well. They are all copying. And they're just improving, or they're making their own changes. And today they're not necessarily improving the features, because if anybody has had Windows 7 and Windows 10, you will see that Windows 10 operates like a slug on a super fast machine. I mean, you can have all sorts of hardware, all solid state, and it's still a slug. It needs to be rebooted. Why? Because they've improved its ability to spy on you. And it takes up all sorts of resources for it to report the information that the OS is obligated to report back to the mothership. So anyway, what I'm trying to kind of convey here, that in the latter sense, as Madison is starting to identify, that a man has property in his opinions and the free communication thereof, that's something the Constitution gave us. That's something he's building this premise within the Constitution. We have just innovated. We have expanded property rights to intellectual property, to the minutiae of things, and we've allowed the legal system to actually allowed basically plagiarism and duplication and copying, so that, you know, people and their rights aren't protected. So here's the other question. When we have a society that protects property rights like that, to a point to where like a song or a book has a property rights of 75 years, really? some things are, I don't believe, because a lot of times people do, you know, they create these things and they want to protect it. For what purpose? Well, for their own self-purpose, for their own, if you want to call it selfish, avarice, greed, or what have you. I don't believe the intent of the framers was to create a permanency on these copyrights, patents, and so forth. They did believe it was essential to protect patents, but certain things, because of their benefit, because look at what drug companies do. I mean, drug companies spend a lot of money on, you know, developing these drugs, and they have come down this path of creating drugs because they finally realized the return on investment is to create a drug that causes a problem or create, and this is why there is a duplicity within pharmaceutical food companies and these others, because they're basically kind of crossbred and owned by motherships, or I should say larger groups or investors that kind of control all of that. So do you believe that diabetes is just a natural outbreak or a natural national problem with obesity and those types of things? Or do you believe that there have been people that said, you know what, if we create an obesity problem, we create a diabetic problem, look at how much money we will make out of these other companies we control called pharmaceuticals and medical supplies and so forth. Do not think for a minute that men have the best intentions in all things that they do. It has been proven more and more and more that as soon as a person has the power, has the control, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so when people obtain that level of power, look at Joe Kennedy. Look at some of these people that are the epitome of greed, avarice, and tyranny. These are despotic people that all of a sudden want it all. They want to control it all. And that's how we've gotten into this. There is so much evil in the top ranks. Not that every single one is evil, but there is so much evil in the top ranks of businesses and corporations and so forth at the global level. There is a reason for this. And they have all been working together. And dare I say the C word, they have been conspiring. But let me move on, because this is really about Madison and his paradigm on property. As Madison says, he has a property of peculiar value in his religious opinions and the free in his religious opinions and in the profession and practice dictated by them. He has a property very dear to him in safety and liberty of his person. He has an equal property in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. In a word, as a man is said to have a right to his property, he may be equally said to have a property in his rights. And right there, friends, that this one stanza is probably the most important stanza that I can get you to fathom, and placing context to what you value, what should be important, and what is truly your property. As I go through this day after day, week after week, in trying to educate and place context to what we have to do with Republic Review, that your liberties are at risk. If we are going to save our Constitution, if we're going to save our liberties, we have to act. And we have to act in a way that is congruent as well as harmonious with the Constitution and the laws of the land. Going out and protesting is not congruent to that. Our framers were very civil men. This was a time where if you challenged somebody, there was no, you know, going to court and trying to word with, you know, soothsay your way into a, you know, a verdict of suing somebody for libel or such. If you impugned a man's character, he could challenge you to a duel, and that duel was exercised with all sorts of controls and constraints to ensure that the rights of respect and the rights of the individuals were respected to your death. That's the civil society that they lived. And in some ways, I remember talking to Bob Zadig, and he said, boy, I wish we could bring back duels again, because it would make people think whether they should impugn your character and actually insult your honor and allow, you know, themselves to be subject to being killed, you know. It would change. I mean, kids probably wouldn't be spending so much time on video games. They'd probably be spending more time on, you know, being better with their aim. Because you remember, a duel is not he who draws first. A duel is based on he who has the challenge and gets to shoot first, and the other person gets to shoot. Anyway, let's get back into property when we come back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so if there's any quote you want to take out of this, this one sentence, I believe, is the most important quote. And I'm going to repeat it because we just read this. In a word, as a man is said to have a right to his property, he may be equally said to have a property in his rights. So I want you to understand, when somebody comes along and says that you don't have a right to go to work, but you have a right to actually work, then you have property in that right to be able to go to work. And that right is protected by the U.S. Constitution. You have a right. So look at the rights, privileges, and immunities. You have a right to be able to live, as the Declaration of Independence, to the pursuit of happiness, to be able to do things that you believe, as long as you're not violating the law or taking rights away from anyone else. You have a right to your religious expression, to work, to provide for your family, to provide for yourself, to pursue happiness. And in essence, you have property in these rights. So in other words, when somebody says you have to stay home, you can't go to worship, they have stolen your property. And that is against the law. I go through this all time and time again. I have the meme out there. Go copy the meme. The 14th Amendment made it impossible for any government. The federal government could not create any law respecting any of these rights, privileges, and immunities. They couldn't do it. The 14th Amendment applied those same restrictions upon your states and local governments. Even so, that they overrode any opportunity moving forward for a state to create laws or enforce laws that they, let's quote unquote, emergency power laws to take away your ability to religious worship, those protected rights. Now, they have a right to actually infect, or I should say, affect those who are infected. In other words, they do have a right to protect you from harm. This is why I put this straight into my article, Martial Law in the 21st Century. States and local governments do, if you are sick, you have you have the flu. Now, it's one of the things, go to the World Health Organization and look at influenza and the impact of influenza over the years. Look at the latest influenza data model. All of a sudden, when COVID-19 occurred, influenza went away. There is no more reporting of it. I am here to tell you that Trump single-handedly eliminated influenza off the face of the earth because the World Health Organization has zero registries. I think if you go look at the scale, I should put this up. But go look at it. Now, getting back to flu, the reason I'm bringing this up, the reason why government actually has the responsibility to protect you from harm, not protect you from yourself. But if somebody could actually harm you because they're infected, they can create and enforce a law. Now, the worst thing a government can do is create draconian laws. And Madison gets into this as well, as how they do those things. They can create a law that basically says, hey, if you're sick, you need to social distance yourself from everybody else. Do not go into a crowd if you can't keep social distancing. If you do, you need to wear protective measures so that you can't infect anybody. You have a responsibility to protect you or protect your neighbors from yourself while you can do harm. If you don't, then we will come and quarantine you or force you to self-quarantine. If you haven't done the logical thing already, if you've got the flu, quarantine yourself. If we actually went down this logical path, and I get it, I do understand that there are people that work because they, you know, they're living hand to mouth. There's lots of people in the world that are living hand to mouth. This is why it is important that the welfare system is no longer a part of the government. This is why it should and it needs to go back to the best institutions in dealing with compassionate services, which are religions. The only reason it was ripped away from religions is because the secular godless, the secular godless atheist convinced us that, oh, government would do it for us instead of making their own church and taking care of themselves. They said, well, what about us? We don't believe in church. How come we can't have something? And they instituted a program to take from you to give to them. Oh, my goodness. Can you understand how perverse this has become? Our what we call the entitlements or the compassionate services state. It's a complete perversion of compassion. It is taking from those who have and giving to those who have not and choose not. And that's where we start enabling bad behavior. But let me get on. I want to kind of rip through this because we are going to run out of time. So let me finish this. Madison goes on and says, where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe as in opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. Where there is an excess of liberty, the effect is the same, though from an opposite cause. Government is instituted to protect property of every sort, as well from which lies in the various rights of individuals as that which the term particularly expresses. This being the end of government, that alone is just government which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. In other words, they securing your property, your rights of conscience, your rights of religious worship. This is what government is supposed to do. I hope you get this. I hope you understand that government, and when Madison laid this out, the Constitution was bound in this manner. This is why the 14th Amendment is so important, because it kept all government in the land of liberty from taking away your liberty. They cannot make or enforce any law that denies you, abridges your individual privileges and immunities. According to this standard, Madison goes on, according to this standard of merit, the praise of affording a just securing to property should be sparingly bestowed on a government which, however scrupulously guarding the possessions of individuals, does not protect them in the enjoyment and communication of their opinions, in which they have an equal and, in the estimation of some, a more valuable property. More sparingly should this praise be allowed to government where a man's religious rights are violated by penalties or fettered by tests or taxed by hierarchy. Conscience is the most sacred of all property, other property depending in part on positive law, the exercise of that being a natural and inalienable right. So that's why we're going to get into natural rights, so you understand these things. To guard a man's house as his castle, to pay public and enforce private debts with the most exact faith. Remember when I said in my previous episode, the government does not have the power to tax us for things that are not within their jurisdiction. They're supposed to basically enforce private debts or the public debt with the most exact faith of staying within the jurisdiction. He goes on and says, can give no title to invade a man's conscience, which is more sacred than his castle, or to withhold from it that debt of protection from which the public faith is pledged by the very nature and original conditions of the social pact. Or to understand that pact, that compact, that social agreement that these states had entered into in actually ratifying that Constitution. Madison goes on and says that this is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety and personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizens for the service of the rest. A magistrate issuing his warrants to a press gang would be in his proper functions in Turkey or Indistan under appellations proverbial for the most complete despotism. This is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to part of its citizens that free use of their faculties. The water underneath your feet is one of those things, and they're taking that away from us. And free choice of their occupations, which not only constitutes their property in the general sense of the word, but are the means of acquiring property strictly so called. See, I told you, you have a right to a job, but you don't have a right to go to work and inflict a sickness upon anybody. You do not have a right to inflict harm upon your fellow employees. This is why I think we're at a point of enlightenment where we can start to see the consequences of our actions, and we should be appalled whenever we're going down the path of basically protecting or taking away the consequences of bad behavior. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so I'm hoping that you're actually recognizing the value of Madison's, you know, efforts in writing this and help laying out what property really is and how we need to go down this path of securing property and protecting it, but not at the expense of property and or liberty. Anyway, he moves on and says, what must be the spirit of legislation where a manufacturer of linen cloth, is forbidden to bury his own child in a linen shroud in order to favor his neighbor who manufactures woolen cloth? Okay, so how many people have ever dealt with a funeral and decided that you can go build yourself a pine box as a casket, but you can't use that casket in any cemetery because cemeteries are forbidden by law to using homemade types of things to protect a business or a franchise of casket manufacturers and so forth? Do you believe we're in a free market society, or do you believe we're in a mercantile system? When you can't do things that you could for yourself in building that box, in wrapping your child in a, because sometimes they didn't even build boxes. They didn't even have lumber back then. So they did burials in linen. My friends, do you start to see how all of a sudden we start creating protections of certain property over others? Where, and Madison goes on and says, where the manufacturer and wearer of woolen cloth are again forbidden the economical use of buttons of that material in favor of the manufacturer of buttons of other materials. As he goes on and says, a just security to property is not afforded by that government under which unequal taxes oppresses one species of property and reward another species. Where arbitrary taxes invade the domestic sanctuaries of the rich and excessive taxes grind the faces of the poor. Where the keenness and competitions of want are deemed an insufficient spur to labor, and taxes are again applied by an unfeeling policy as another spur in violation of that sacred property which heaven, in decreeing man to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, kindly reserved to him in the small repose that could be spared from the supply of his necessities. Wow. I hope you... I'm telling you that this whole essay is just packed with gold. But you have to understand that even with the best intentions, government goes down to create these protections, these laws, these barriers. They are oppressive when they create a favor for one and oppress another. It is wrong, and it is outside the spirit of the Constitution and the laws of this land. In other words, how many laws are out there protecting florists from you being able to create your own florist company because you're not certified? Believe it or not, many states in America require certifications of floral arrangements. Those are barriers to entry into keeping people from being able to just come in and compete against you. They're creating an added overhead and cost. It's the same thing with certification. Now, granted, there's this great argument to have doctors and nurses and people of certain professions constantly renewing their education and, you know, what they call continuing education, CE credits. You know, in some ways, those things are good. But in other ways, when we create a certification for every profession except for our legislators, we've really missed the boat. Because the one certification that every legislator should have and know are these types of limits. Understanding what the constitutional responsibilities are. Just understanding that document, the Constitution. It is a sad day when we have constitutional illiteracy running rampant, not only in our society, but in our halls of legislation. As Madison states, moving on, if there be a government then which prides itself in maintaining the inviolability of property, which provides that none shall be taken directly, even for public use, without indemnification to the owner, and yet directly violates the property which individuals have in their opinions, their religion, their persons, and their faculties. Nay, more, which indirectly violates their property in their actual possessions in the labor that acquires their daily subsistence, and in the hallowed remnant of time, which ought to relieve their fatigues and soothe their cares. The influence, or is it inference? I believe it's the inference, which will have been anticipated, that such a government is not a pattern for the United States. If the United States mean to obtain or deserve the full praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property in rights. They will rival the government that most sacredly guards the former, and by repelling its example in violating the latter, will make themselves a pattern to that end and all other governments. Well, I don't know how I can, you know, really add to that, so we're going to end 4 minutes early. I'm just kidding. Folks, you have to understand this paradigm, and this is the bedrock that you need to move forward. When I tell you that you have these inalienable rights, that we have created government with enumerated powers, not general powers. They cannot take upon themselves, based on their discretion, of how to oppress us or what they can do. It is not for them to decide. They have been given the few things that they have the discretion and decision over. Those few things are the enumerated powers within the Constitution. This is why we go through this stuff. This is why we try to impress upon you the importance of guarding these things and the legal standing or the illegal standing, the unconstitutional standing our government is in. Over the past two centuries, our governments have created houses of cards because they've been able to get away with, you know, hoodwinking us and convincing us to give them a little more latitude. Give them a little more latitude. You know, it's like the camel's nose in the tent, right? The camel's outside, you know, I don't want to say screaming, but whimpering. Oh, the sandstorm is too intense. I can't take it out here. Master, please, please, just let me get my nose in so I could breathe fresh air. And the master in the tent says, oh, okay, I'm going to, you know, part the tent, and allows this camel to put his nostrils in the tent. And then the camel starts complaining, oh, master, please, please, let me at least get my eyes in. I can't even open my eyes because the sand is just shredding my eyes. And so the master with compassion allows the camel to get his head or his eyes in. And so the camel then looks at the master and says to the master, you know, my ears are being shredded by this. I can't even hear a word you say. All I can hear is the howling of the wind. Please let me get my ears into the tent. And when the master allows the whole head of the camel into the tent, there is nothing left to restrain the camel. Because at that point, the camel now can push his way in and does so, because the camel only cares about the camel and not the master. And that's what happens when we give people or gives government that kind of latitude to take control over us. They do not have that latitude in the Constitution. The only latitude they've been given is by casual acquiescence, by casually not standing up and saying you can't do it. The process in getting government back into compliance, the process that blows down this house of cards, is Republic Review. Republic Review will begin with an audit in one state. They will identify every infraction, every power that is outside the powers of the federal government. Republic Review will also identify those verdicts, those edicts, those laws that have been created by the bench or by the president through unlawful legislation. Legislation is only vested in the powers, or the powers of legislation are only vested in Congress. The Supreme Court can't tell us that homosexual marriage is the law of the land. They can't tell us that. They can't create the law that abortion is the law of the land. Only the legislatures can create those laws, and they can only create laws in pursuance to those enumerated powers, not just whimsically make these laws. They don't have general powers. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue.
Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.